What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We hope you had some great gaming since the last time you listened. And if you're new, welcome to the table. We may not be an actual play podcast, but we hope our podcast can help you actually play. Thank you, Rich. We're still using this. We are three DMs who create stories, sessions, what have you, based on randomized theme and scenario tables determined by none other than two D20s. It's a great way to get the creative juices flowing and flex those DMing muscles or improv skills, if you're like me. With that, let's introduce ourselves. I am DM Mambo, or Sam, and I am doing our intro this episode. You're welcome. Next we have...
I am David. I'm going to be rolling four themes today.
And now we have our last host.
I am Malcolm. I'm going to be rolling four scenarios. Yeah, that's it today.
And now it's time for the question of the week. I got to figure out what I want to do. Let's see. What do we got? We got some good ones provided for us from our lovely, super awesome, busy Hive Mind Discord channel, where we have more than one person in there. Combi zombie. No, we have a bunch of busy working bees in our thing, in our Discord. My biggest thing, my question of the week is, what got you guys into D&D and role-playing games? What makes you actually comment in a Discord channel rather than get overwhelmed and just listen and just, you know, be a lurker in a Discord channel? Because sometimes I get overwhelmed, but this is when I first joined Filling in the Gaps, I started talking a lot. And I wasn't really, I don't really have that much else to do on Discord. So what makes you guys talk in a Discord channel? Interact with your favorite podcasting hosts, like on Twitter, at Filling in the Gaps, D&D, F-I-T-G, D&D on Twitter.
Is this a bad time to say that I don't do that yeah, in other Discords?
I am very quiet. I'm a lurker as well.
So the way that most people get me to interact is, one, if I'm tagged in things, but also if I see cool concepts or things that I am interested in, particularly ideas, different things, like I'll use like YouTube comments, cause that's more of something I do more often, is, I will, if I have an opinion that I strongly believe needs to be expressed in some format, or if I'm just like, this is really nice, and they deserve to know, this is a good thing they've made, then I'm going to put like, yeah, good job with this. I really like blah, blah, blah. I really like the way that you pointed out that Shape of Water is actually a quality film and has a deeper storyline than just what people believe it is.
Get out.
No, I will stand by this. This is my hill.
I'm just kidding. I've never watched it.
It's a good movie. I don't go gaga for it, but it's a good movie. I defend it.
People are gross and I want them away from me, but occasionally, if I have something funny to say, I will maybe work up the courage to put it in, or if there's like an interpersonal conflict someone has that I have decent advice for or something that I've experienced, I'll sometimes chime in with something that's almost insightful, but usually I'm just quiet.
Okay.
On our Discord, though...
Should I ask a different question?
No, I think this is good.
I mean, it's honest. On our Discord, though, I'm really active. I try to do stuff and see people and ask questions so that people have things to respond to. So don't worry, we're not dead over there. It's just when we get out into other people's places, I want to respect all their stuff and not touch anything.
Yeah, it's different here because it's ours. And mm-hmm. there's a responsibility to kind of interact more there. But in other people's, don't look at me.
Yeah,
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the big thing, is that, like, I treat it very much like I treat houses. Like, when I first get in there, I'm like, I don't know what's allowed and what's not allowed, so I'm just going to very quietly hang out until my friend and I get what we need, and we can just go. I don't want to be a bother to anybody. And that's mainly how I treat it, so... But don't be scared of our Discord. We're really friendly.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I guess it does feel like a safer place in your own Discord channel. But I was just wondering because I always mean to interact more, and then I'm just like, gosh, I'm way past this conversation now, and now I just feel like I'm not doing anything, and now I just feel like a waste of space.
Mm-hmm.
So I was hoping to get some. Some talk, but I guess
have some advice for that. Actually,
I could make some other. I already ignore my therapist. I don't need you in there too, Malcolm.
I'm saying that I have a D&D
related question I could ask.
No. Before that, I would just like to say, if you are having trouble with past conversations, just use the reply from the old thing and just it'll pull it up to like wherever the conversation was, and that way it doesn't really matter for Discord. I'm okay with that. I do that all the time to people. I'm like, oh, this was a cool concept that you mentioned like 2 weeks ago. This one right here, so you can see what it is. Can you explain more about that? People love that. So that's how I normally handle that specific problem. But you had a question, Sam, as well. Another one.
Well, I mean, I have an actual D&D question I can ask. But what David wants to ask a question before me, that's totally cool.
We can do your D&D question first.
I was gonna switch it up and just ask what's your favorite trinket on the trinket table and how would you make that into a magical item in the DMG? It might not. It's either DMG or Player's Handbook. I love rolling. I always have my players roll on this to give me stuff for their backstories and such like that.
I don't have a lot of experience with it, but I just pulled it up, and one that I think sounds a lot of fun is a tiny bubble level that is calibrated incorrectly.
My favorite is a metal urn containing the ashes of a hero.
Actually, I don't think this is a D&D one, because this looks like modern stuff. Never mind.
Well, I gotta find my D&D one now, too. One second while I dig through all my rule books that I have saved.
Ooh, a petrified mouse. That sounds fun.
What page is that on, by the way, Dave?
This is something I Googled. I don't have the book open.
Sam, do you
I'm on D&D Beyond, so...
Dagnabbit, trinket table, Google, here we go.
But yes, a petrified mouse would be a lot of fun, just because I think turning it into a magic item, it could be like one of those old summoning stones from earlier editions of D&D, and like the panther that Drit Stewarden has, where you could summon like a mouse. Maybe it's just a tiny mouse, and it can like do some stealth stuff for you. Or if it summons a giant mouse, if you want something combat capable.
Yeah, I like the reason why I picked 100, the urn, is because I have a character who is based on it, where his dead wife is inside of the jar.
Oh, yeah.
And Norfolk Fog. Gosh, what a fear bog with Alzheimer's or dementia. Gosh, it was so much fun because once they open it, he just disappears because his contract with the warlock is broken. But I think it's a lot of fun. I guess I should also revise this question being like, do you like using the trinket table or do you just skip it? I always like using it to give a little background starter for my players to go off of, because sometimes it's hard for players to be like, I don't know what to make out of this.
Mm-hmm. I normally just make everything as chaotic as possible and have it come straight from the brain. Just brain to paper with minimal rewrites. So not a lot of trinket table or thing for me. But off of the trinket table, to answer your original question, because I found an answer, an old divination card that bears your character's likeness. I like weird, creepy stuff like that, because it's like, why does this exist? Who made this? For what purpose?
Well, Malcolm, you have a rabbit's foot. I just rolled for you. You have a rabbit's foot.
Yeah, I'm lucky.
Sorry.
I'm okay with that.
And David, you have a tiny chest carved to look like it has numerous feet on the bottom.
Ugh, I do not like all right.
that. all right, roll for yourself now. You got to make it all fair.
True, true, true. 38 is a tiny sketch portrait of a goblin. Wow. Rich and Cam are still here.
So while you're still rolling, David, shall we roll?
Let's do it.
Welcome back, listeners. It is now time for the reroll, where David and Malcolm are rolling on our themes and scenarios table. They each have one D20. What will the numbers be? What will this episode be about? Find out now.
So, David, I rolled for themes and I got a natural 20.
A natural 20!
And of course, that's going to skew all my rolling for the next week, and I'm never going to roll above a 10.
That's true.
excuse me, I've appeared to I'm Malcolm, I'm rolling for scenarios, and, well, you see, the thing is, it rolled onto my keyboard here, so do we want to play that where it lies, or do we want to roll again?
Reroll it. If it's cocked, you reroll it. Come on. What are you, an amateur, a noob at D&D? Learn how to play the game, Malcolm.
It was a clear answer, so I just wanted to make sure if we wanted to actually do a reroll. All right, here we go.
We're filling in the gaps re-rolled. If we're gonna, we're gonna always re-roll it. 5. That's my favorite number. Oh my gosh, it is. It's a great one. You're one off. Oh no, I'm one off. This was 4. I always remember. Number 4 is something I would have liked. I forget that.
What is
one off?
Because
themes and scenarios is like takes up the number 1 chart.
Yo, this is hilarious.
This is a very hilarious combination.
Yeah, so what we've got is houses and humans as our theme by, as always, the lovely Combi the Zombie. Paid and sponsored partnership from Combi.
Not really, though.
He pays us in love and interacting in our Discord channel. We're popping. I'm telling you, come on by the Hive Mind. And our scenario today is from the lovely LaGravy, dreaded spice merchant, pumpkin edition. So we've got Starbucks, the goblin is coming in and is selling goblin pumpkin spice lattes to houses and humans alike.
No. I want to take this out of D&D. I want to have a normal people where we have normal people who have to work at Starbucks, the RPG.
All right. We're re-rolling Malcolm into a new host featuring our audio gremlin noob as a new... I'm just kidding. No, let's do it. Starbucks the Musical.
Wait a minute.
Yep. Starbucks the Musical RPG edition.
I feel like you're stacking in more things.
Starbucks the Musical, you know, the RPG anime edition.
This is just a high school AU. You realize that now, right? Like, that's all. And that's what this is. Okay. Let me pitch you this real quick.
You're just a cutscene of some guy making a pumpkin spice latte, you know, just pulling down the steam and just running back and forth. I forgot the pumpkin spice! Ah!
So we got houses and humans, which is obviously a Dungeons and Dragons joke based off of itself. In which case, we have to make it so that your characters, or at some point somehow, play a version of D&D in their world, which in the case would be houses and humans.
No, Malcolm. You're playing dragons, okay? You're all dragons.
Okay,
and you're
yes.
playing a brand new board game coming out called Houses and Humans. And in it, you have to, you know, get coffee. Because if you get 6 levels of exhaustion, your human dies. So in order a way to get some exhaustion points back is by drinking coffee. The Lord and Savior of this world, Starbucks, is the god of coffee and energy.
Goddess, sir.
I Goddess.
The picture.
She's a mermaid, you're right. And that's your dragons are now exploring how to be humans or monsters. You don't have to be dragons, I guess. But I think you should open up with dragons in a dungeon playing houses and humans.
I think I like the idea that you presented at the end there of the monsters trying to learn to be human and this is how they think to do it.
Oh, wait, it could be like a monster campaign where humans have gone extinct and there's a relic they find in a dungeon called Houses and Humans. And it's a way of going back and digging through the archives of the world when humans existed.
I like
and
this.
How bad we treated our planet, and how we destroyed it, and how one human made a deal with the evil goddess Starbucks and ruined the world's economy based on coffee and pumpkin spice lattes.
All right, calm down there, Captain Planet.
Captain Planet, there he is. That's it. Okay, we're going off with Captain... Okay, I'm sorry.
No, Captain Planet's a good idea, actually. We'll put him down for a different point. Who knows? He might meet the Power Rangers. Who knows what happens on this podcast? Wacky things, I tells ya.
I feel like this could be an extension of our Kids on Bikes game, where basically you run in to a group of monsters who are playing this game trying to act like normal humans, but they have no idea what actual humans do. And so the DM, who is like the Loch Ness monster of this group, is running all the other monsters through the scenario, and they talk about the dreaded spice merchant who comes every fall, because all they've heard is like a mixture of people who love the spice merchant, and those, of course, are the cultists who pray to the spice merchant, and people who hate it, which are like rude people who think that pumpkin is basic, even though it's delicious.
It's a cult of pretty much, you know, white girls. It is a majority of the cult. But what if it's like you're... So I like this. Your players are all like different types of humans, but one's got to be like a jack-o'-lantern or something like that. Like maybe that's you. Maybe the DM's like a jack-o'-lantern, or like Billy and Mandy, I think it's just the Jack. Isn't Jack in Billy and Mandy? That kind of vibe of like someone walking around with a pumpkin head. And like, this is the worst thing possible. So he's hired the monsters to fake. So maybe it's like a monster human simulation. Like, this is how monsters learn how to be humans. So the whole quest is to act normal and stop the celebration of pumpkin spice from fall and make it in so you can stop the celebration of pumpkins.
Sir, if I may, Princess Bride. We tell the story. The monsters telling the story of the humans, but they don't know how humans used to act. So we can make this a one shot, to be clear, because this probably won't fit in your campaign. This is just a fun thing to do on the side. But you do a one shot about monsters being like, yeah, and then Susie, she ate all the pumpkin, like, and she grabbed the metal machine and she squeezed the pumpkin to death and it was awful. And it's like, oh, you just have like a bunch of, like you had said, Sam, like jack-o'-lantern people maybe telling the story of like...
A pumpkin beholder?
Yes! 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 There it is. Why do we always make our best Halloween episodes after Halloween?
There's something also you could use as like a brigandock. Who one of their things is they carve pumpkins super fast in the D&D world. They're mouse-sized creatures that live in mines and such. So that'd be cool too. You know, I think a pumpkin beholder would be great. And you know like the joke. There's the joke of like on TikTok and such when pumpkin spice was big was like they'd shoot up. They would take like a shot of a orange pumpkin and then like after they'd be like, look, they've drained it all out of its spice, and they shoot to like a yellow or a white one, a white pumpkin. So I think you could go with that. Like the monsters view it as them like wiping the fields of pumpkins and draining all the flavor out of them and such like that. And that could be part of it where a beholder was sleeping in this pumpkin field and got detached and started to have a nightmare about being sucked up like the pumpkins had just witnessed. And so that's how it became like a pumpkin beholder, or it was made into a pumpkin beholder or something like that.
I like the idea of a pumpkin beholder being very afraid for Halloween. And it knows that's what happens to pumpkins. It doesn't know why its father or like whatever made it the way it is, because it's like, I'm going to die. It is Halloween. And I know these stories of what happens on Halloween. So you could have it.
No,
be
I
the-
think.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you finished. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was going to say, you could have it be that it's a pumpkin beholder that just knows like death is coming for me because I am a pumpkin, essentially.
Or at least that's the story it's telling in its game of humans and houses.
Yeah, I was going to say humans and houses could be the story of Halloween, which is one of like the most terrifying days for monsters because all the humans dress up like them and now they don't know who is who. And so this is why this pumpkin beholder is so nervous. It's because it has a huge fear of one day being picked as a pumpkin sent off to a factory and turned into a pumpkin spice latte. It like, you know, and you can go through it and it tells about how a merchant will pick it up and ship it off and it'll become into like a coffee.
I like this. But okay, so someone want to recap what just happened before that?
We have a bunch of monsters playing humans and houses, talking about how Halloween is one of the most scary nights ever because they can't tell who's who, and their dungeon master is a giant pumpkin beholder. And what I think is, if you're doing this as a one-shot, I'd have all your characters be humans, all your players be humans, and have them walk into this game. You know, they open the door. You open the door and you find whatever amount of monsters talking and playing a game. And they're like, monsters are
in
real?
Order,
what?
Or in order to avoid being suspicious, they have to join the game. Pretend they're their monsters too.
Yes, wait a minute. All trick-or-treaters. They're trick-or-treaters. They trick-or-treat on this door. They get there and realize they have to now be monsters in order to not be eaten by these monsters.
The levels so of meta have
your
have
D&D
a little lost.
Game. So basically, you tell your friends you're going to play Kids on Bikes. They get there.
And you make them play D&D.
You make them play D&D.
Okay, so like, but legit though, how does this work? So are we going to have people playing monsters playing people, or are we going to have people playing monsters?
I think you're going to have people playing people. The monsters are the DM.
I don't want that. That's part of the fun of human houses, is that they get to be monsters.
Well, I mean,
playing
it just depends on which way you want to take it. If you want to take it and tell your friend they're going to play Kids on Bikes, and then they come in and they have to now play monsters playing humans. Humans playing monsters playing humans. That could be fun. Or you can have it as you tell your players to roll up some monster characters, monster quote-unquote race, you know, and then they come in and they have to now play as humans in this humans and house game.
Both could be a lot of fun.
They both could be. It's just one makes my head hurt more for some reason.
Oh, they both make your head hurt because you have to rewrite pretty much D&D into pretty normal. So what you could do is you could have your fantasy realm happen far in the future and this be in the past, you know? So like even though they had you're super in the future where monsters have come over from a different land or something like that and everything's advanced, you know, flying cars, all that jazz. You go back to a point where you're reading into this manual called Houses and Humans, written by some adventurer or something way back. And they're talking about this merchant named S. Bucks. And S. Bucks was a traveling merchant who made it rich by going around selling different flavors of something called kofifi, something like that. And their most famous dish was something where they spiced pumpkins or something like that. Like the monsters aren't really sure what that is, but the pumpkin beholder is like terrified. Oh, you know what? So all your players are the monster races. They're in the dungeon playing humans, houses and humans. But the big bad is a pumpkin beholder that has taken this manuscript and trying to hide it and destroy it. So no one else knows. So when they're playing the game, they have to turn around and actually fight the pumpkin beholder because it's like right behind them. You know, they get to that point in the story. And the DM's like, and you turn around and you're reading and you get to the last page and you just hear, it's behind, you know, very much like Monty Python, where they're talking about the rabbit and such, like, or the cave monster or whatever it was.
It was a rabbit.
And then you turn around and there's your beholder. And now you have to play D&D again and fight the pumpkin beholder.
The pumpkin beholder could also, because beholders have the ability to manifest reality based upon, I think, sleep, right? Whenever they dream of stuff. So we could just imagine the world of humans and households and houses and humans and make it so that.
And you get trapped in there?
Yeah. As a monster, you're trapped in there and you have to survive trying to look normal and go about Halloween the proper way with no knowledge of how to do Halloween the proper way. So you're like, I'm going to go murder a jack-o'-lantern. And people are like, yeah.
Or it's an entire universe as how the beholder would see it.
Yeah. I think I still would keep the finding the journal, you know, the journal in the dungeon, and then it's entitled Humans and Houses and Humans.
Yeah.
But as soon as they open it, they get sucked into the world, very much like the diary in Harry Potter, you know.
I think that's a good way to tie it into an actual campaign. That's really good. If you didn't want to make this a one-shot, I think that's a really good idea.
And then they have to, and I would still have it personally, as humans are extinct in this world. And then they go back and they're like, oh, human, this is what we learned in like school about humans. And this is weird. I don't even know what this is. And then S. Bucks, I remember that name from like, you know, they roll history checks or something. I remember that name from a powerful merchant going around selling these magical pumpkin spiced lattes or something like that.
These Starbucks people must have grinded up stars into pieces upon the pumpkin. That's why it's so powerful.
Yeah, it's all this like weird things of like how it has mind controlling abilities and how it made people go crazy and how powerful this great mermaid wizard S. Bucks was and how she goes traveling across the whole world and is making millions off of people's consumption, and how it's like the best tasting drink ever, or you could even call it like a potion, a pumpkin spice potion, you know. And they're going all throughout the land, blah 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 blah, and then all of a sudden your players are reading this and they realize that they're actually in the world now, so you can take them to the different ports that this whatever being you want it to be. I keep going to goblin because I think that's funny, or you could have a legitimate mermaid go through and enchant people with her song and spices. And then you see a beholder get defeated by it. And instead of killing it, she leaves it there in the pumpkin patch and it sleeps in it. And it breeds a new pumpkin beholder. And it's like, you see it kill thousands of people wandering. And you realize and you bring it back to where it's wandered into a cave to take a long nap. And you realize, oh, we're in that cave. And then they start to realize again, we're in the dream.
And then you have to go and kill the pumpkin beholder.
Or wake it up, yeah.
Or does the pumpkin beholder want to die? Because it's like, I know what my existence is and I hate it.
Yeah. That's how you get pumpkin spice. You have to kill a beholder in a pumpkin patch in order for it to breed a new beholder. So there's a beholder pumpkin beholder patch where they're breeding all these intelligent beholder pumpkin beholders where they're mining them and squeezing the life out of them to get pumpkin spice potions.
Okay.
And this one escaped. And it's written it all down as Houses in Humans, where a world where, a fantasy world where there were no goblins, no orcs, no centaurs, no nothing. It was just humans in nature.
Are you saying that H&H is some sort of trauma helpful thing for him to work through the difficulties of his life? Like, I couldn't imagine some sort of fantasy role-playing game doing that.
That's exactly what he was doing. He was role-playing as the creatures that destroyed him.
The ones that terrified him the most.
Trying to understand and calculate them. Maybe he's even the reason why there are no more humans left. He made human-spiced potions instead.
Ooh. So S-Box is going to be this big alchemist. And so you end up going to their lair at some point. And you see all these different drinks, like there's a glowing pink one, there's a bunch of frozen drinks, potions.
A frappa potion, if you please.
You could basically pull up the Starbucks menu and have all of them in a shelf, everything that they have.
Unique collector potion glasses.
But okay.
Yeah, and each potion does something a little different. But the one that everyone looks forward to the most is the pumpkin spice potion that this alchemist puts off, S-Bucks. And everyone is like, oh, it's a seasonal drink. We love it for the harvest festival. It's so cute. Pumpkin, you know, spices. But they don't know that in the behind the shop are these drained pumpkins that they have taken the life force out of to shove into these potions to make them taste the most pumpkin flavored ever, you know. And it could give like special powers and such too that, you know.
Oh, it's a pumpkin beholder. So, like, are the pumpkins pumpkin beholders? Is that what we're going with?
I think one pumpkin starts to dream of having the power to get out of basically death. You know, it doesn't want to be cultivated to be drained for its life.
Right, and that's how we get Houses in Humans. Yeah, okay, yeah, gotcha. Yeah. All right, perfect. So, this will be cool for those who want to run a monster campaign, because you, like, step into that area, and it's like, guess what, you're people again. And they're like, wait, I don't want to be people. I want to breathe acid and stuff. So you have, like, a reason to also want to fix that problem, so that you can get back to being super awesome monsters, instead of being, people and, you know, just flesh on bones. Boring. But yeah, you could do something with that. You could... I liked your idea of having, like, a beholder be placed into a pumpkin patch, and then it seeing a pumpkin, making a pumpkin beholder.
Yeah, because I think how they reproduce is by dreaming mm-hmm. and such. So if a beholder was killed in, like, a pumpkin patch, and it passed on its will through a dream, like its last dying dream was to grow stronger so this doesn't happen, and just so happens to take a form of a pumpkin who also is feeling the same way after seeing its pumpkin brothers and sisters being drained through the seasons, and this one was just strong enough to, like, last through the harvest, you know. And its last dying dream was to be powerful enough to save all the pumpkins, you know, from S. Bucks. So they both kind of, their dreams meshed together to create this new pumpkin spiced beholder.
I'm not spiced yet.
Well, no, but I mean, it's pumpkins have their own spice. We just steal it from them. So S-Bucks is now, like, maybe S-Bucks is going even further in stealing spices from different kinds of things. So now there's, like, a Fae spice. And he's, like, taking the, or she's taking the spice away from, like, different Fae plants and such. I don't know if there's, like, other plants and things in D&D we could use.
I mean, there's vanilla.
But it's going back, it's going in and taking different sorts of spices and making even more powerful drinks. And this pumpkin is trying to recruit heroes to save, you know, save vegetables from, or fruits from these, from this person.
So
save spices.
And this pumpkin only knows humans to be heroes, so it's like, it's got to be humans, it's got to be safe people, it's got to be...
Well, the human part could be, like, humans and houses could tell, like, the bad side of the story.
Mm.
And so the guidelines is for monsters to dress up as humans to go in and take back the spices they've lost, or what have you.
Hmm.
Or how it grew itself to be strong enough to take on... this evil alchemist S-Bucks.
When it comes to S-Bucks, okay, so let's do this. Let's do a rundown of what we have so far. Because I think we have two different plot lines, and that's where I'm getting confused. Because one of them is, and I'm gonna go chronologically so it makes more sense. So there is a magical mermaid alchemist who was evil, who was like, yo, I'm gonna kill this beholder and put it in front of a pumpkin to make pumpkin beholders so I can make them into delicious pumpkin spice lattes. One of those pumpkin beholders escapes, then gets over to the, a place to hide. When it gets to that place to hide, it creates the game of humans and households and humans in order to, create a safe place for itself where it won't be harmed, as it's asleep, and so that whole area is affected by houses and humans. Enter our players, which will be monsters who then walk into houses and humans' world, who become people, who then have to figure out the backstory of what's going on in order to then go back out as monsters to go fight the evil mermaid. Is that correct? Is that where we are? There's a lot there.
Yeah, we could probably get rid of them trying to defeat S-Bucks until... It depends if you want that. Maybe after you play... This could be either a one-shot or a start of a campaign. So after they play Houses and Humans, they realize that it's real. And then they can go out questing to defeat S-Bucks. And that's when, like, your DM can take over, you know, creative control of where S-Bucks is, what they're doing, and all that fun stuff. But the original, like, so your players are monsters playing humans. They're going through this series of how this beholder was created, how it suffered, and how pumpkin spice potions are created.
So let's break those sections down and kind of figure out what kind of encounters in houses and humans would even look like.
I've never played a human, so I would not know.
I've played a few, and I apparently am one in real life, so, you know.
Oh, that's true. I forgot that I was. I just thought I was tired all the time.
That's my least favorite character.
That's part of it.
Yeah. I hate this simulation.
Should have re-rolled.
Let me go grab my dice.
But the, yeah, so we should have something for, like, energy level should be one of the things. How much energy cost. You can play this really cynically, or you can play this however you want.
I think you should probably use kids on bikes easy type thing. Maybe Cthulhu is another human-based game you could use that would help you out.
Kids on Bikes also can be a somewhat misleading title, as there are also adults you can be in Kids on Bikes.
Very true, very true.
So that's good for those who are like, I don't want to be a kid on a bike. You don't have to be a kid. There doesn't have to be a bike. Congratulations, the title's a lie. So is Dungeons & Dragons. Get over it.
You definitely got to have an encounter with a pack of white girls, you know, mobbing or crushing you or mobbing you for open season of pumpkin spice lattes.
There's got to be a flood of people lined up for. You got to find a way to sneak into Starbucks space, or I'm sorry, Xbox. Into the Stardust place, and you figure out how to, you have to sneak in past a crowd of people who want to get that new thing. You can even, like, have a thing where you know somebody who works there, and you have to, like, befriend them to see if they can get you a drink, maybe.
You basically are infiltrating a cult meeting, and you're trying to sneak around while everyone's chanting, live, laugh, love.
Maybe this is Call of Cthulhu.
Live, laugh, love. Live, laugh, love. And our featured speaker of the evening is S-Bucks herself. Live, laugh, love. Or it's a pumpkin spice. Pumpkin spice. And then she runs on stage holding a mini pumpkin and like a potion bottle, and she squeezes it, and you see this orange sparkly liquid fill up this glass. Pumpkin spice! And then she, you know, everyone's cheering, and then you're in deep.
If we do a sequel to our other Kids on Bikes thing, we could just have it be the friend of Jeffrey Bezos. Just do it again. Connections. It's important to have lore. But having a kind of cult meeting does make it possible to make it more of a Call of Cthulhu thing if you wanted to. It can be a very silly Call of Cthulhu for those who are too scared to play real Call of Cthulhu. That's fine. It's fine.
And then when you enter back into Dungeons & Dragons, you can have either the party try to befriend the Pumpkin Beholder and work with it to keep this cursed game out of the hands of anyone else. Or you can have them fight the Pumpkin Beholder, and that's when it could turn them into different spices. You know, you could turn into different lattes, a frappuccino, potions, whatever you want to call it, you know. And you can, instead of like a disintegrating ray or disintegrating ray, you have the pumpkin spice ray. You have the refresher ray. And they're turning into drinks, like, instead of they're turning into different, you know, instead of the death, you know, they're turning into the different drinks of Starbucks. Could be a fun encounter to have.
Hot foam.
Hot foam, yeah. You're literally a pile of hot foam. What would you like to do now? What? I'd like to go home now.
I've returned to hot foam. Can I go home? Yeah, excuse. If I ran this, my whole thing would just be the Pumpkin Beholder just being like, kill me, please. I don't want to live like this. I'm constantly afraid.
Oh, you could have it that way too, of course.
Yeah. Xbox is gonna come kill me. And it's like, we gotta stop this S-Bucks person. This is getting out of hand.
Or it could be, if we go, Princess Bride way, Malcolm, it could be that the Pumpkin Beholder is so old, it can't get its revenge on its own, so it asks the party, the monsters, to go out and kill S-Bucks. Because they could know about S-Bucks. They could know about it, come into this cave after, like, on a quest, and then they find this game, humans and house, or houses and humans, and so they now are, you know, going on their own, like, break time quest of playing as humans. They're reading this diary, and then the beholder is like, hey, this is my story. Can you please help me kill S-Bucks? And they're like, oh my god, S-Bucks is she's a piece of shit. We gotta kill her.
I was thinking less of it being like, oh, I've written this story, and more of like, you, like, literally you step in and it's like, I'm no longer what I was. I am a human now, and everything's in suburbia? What's happening? And then, like, eventually, as the story plays out at the end, you're like, oh, and then you're faced with the Pumpkin Beholder being like, avenge me, please. And that's...
Oh, that works too.
Yeah. That's... It just shows the difference in DMing styles, though. Because I like yours. Yours is far more grounded. It makes more sense in a D&D setting than mine. Because mine would just be like, you're randomly monsters. And now you're randomly people again. Whoa, wacky. So... for this, what else should we do? S-Bucks, how do we make her scarier than just a mermaid? Because she's just a mermaid alchemist. How powerful?
Well, it could be that she can turn anyone into any, like, drink or potion, depending on how you want to say it. So that's the biggest thing is, like, no one knows what they've been drinking all these years. People think it's just a potion for a health potion or something like that, but it could just be she's stealing the life force from other people, putting it into a health potion. It could be this wild thing where she has, you know, the S-Bucks industry is all over Faerun right now. The potions, you can't stop these potions, so in order to stop her, you have to actually kill her, but also somehow save S-Bucks from destroying the economy.
She's not a mermaid. She's a sea hag, but she looks like a mermaid for the appearances.
That works too.
So everyone's just like, oh, this beautiful mermaid. And she's like, nobody knows my terrible secret. And I'm like, oh. But she's actually this mega powerful sea hag who's just been like behind this all along and nobody
charming
knows.
Everybody, you know, lacing all her potions with charming spells. That way people will keep buying and buying.
This would be pretty cool because you'd also get to have a chance, if you did make this a campaign where you ran as monsters, to have the monsters actually be the heroes for once. And so you could have even like weird team ups where it's like them actually siding with heroes that go, we gotta get like this, I don't know. What's a monster that's an actual monster that's not a playable race? Because I feel like they made everything there's a Death Knight, we gotta kill it. And it's like, actually, I'm on your side. We're after the same person. Okay.
Yeah, I like, though, that the juxtaposition that humans are gone from the world.
Yes, that was also a good idea. I did not mean to ignore it.
Because that's the joke.
No more humans.
It could even be as simple, I know we're late, but it could be even as simple as your players are playing a monster campaign and one of the NPCs is like, hey guys, I found this new game I'd love for us to play. It's called Humans Humans and Houses, and again they're going on a quest to defeat this evil pumpkin spice merchant. It could even be as simple as that if you want it to be like, oh hey Ragnar the bugbear, you guys want to play? And so the DM's an NPC in the game asking the player characters to play a game of humans and houses and humans with him as their players now who are the humans are role-playing monster races who are now role-playing humans. And it could be like them at like a friend's house playing it in the game. It could be even that wild.
This episode's very meta, so if you can't keep up, feel free to listen to it multiple times to get the answers down. That totally will help.
Or ask us about it at our Discord.
Or tweet us. We're available at FitGD&D. Wow. Wow. A lot of communication we could just do. Weird,
I think we can move on to our recap. You guys feeling that?
I feel like we should. We have, again, we didn't really talk about any of the other elements that we're going to do across the process of the creation of the pumpkin spice, because this thing's telling the story of how pumpkin spice exists, but we don't really know what those encounters are going to look like.
Well, I think one would be fighting, you know, a pumpkin beholder is either at the end or in the front.
No, but that's an outside of the houses and humans game, which we only have that you have to basically infiltrate a cult and get some pumpkin spice, or I guess learn the secrets of the pumpkin spice. I guess that within itself is a task, so that would be kind of difficult. And you can figure out different opponents and things to put in your way, whether that be parents, or curfews, or school nights, or, I gotta say this properly, hunky boys? I don't care for hunky boys, or do I? For those who watch Psycho Gorman, I thank you. But yeah, you could put whatever you want in people's way, and then afterwards they have to figure out they have to get it, taste it, figure out, oh, this is bad because this would taste like a beholder. This tastes different. This tastes wrong. And then the beholder can wake up and be like, yo, cool, you saw my dream? Perfect. And be like, now we gotta go kill S-Box.
Yeah, so it could be where you're running from creatures inside this game. So as humans, you're running away from this night creature that to the beholder, it doesn't know what it is. Your players then can realize, oh, this is S-Bux capturing all the pumpkins and wiping them out almost from existence. You're seeing like I guess you'd be taken into flashes of different crucial events in the time where it's things are being destroyed and they have to try to escape. And then you can be like, oh yeah, sure. There's some weapons around and you're trying to fight. So if you'd have to just either make a human character using D&D or another role-playing game like Kids on Bikes, where it's a little less powered and they're helpless to stop things.
Making these situations, and I like the idea of scene cutting like that, so you can really drop them wherever. They don't have to be the same characters throughout. It can just be that, okay, now you're in these bodies. It doesn't really matter what humans you are, as long as the story gets told, and then you can get back to the beholder who's like, you've witnessed my story, you have seen or you have heard my story, now you know. But yeah, that's something you could do. I think that'd be pretty fun to play, honestly. Maybe one of these years we'll roll that up at some point. Throw that on as a little something to listen to by the Christmas fire.
You're absolutely right, Malcolm. Whatever you said, I agree with.
I said we were going to roll this episode at some point in the future. Maybe a Christmas thing. It'd be nice. Not this Christmas, because I am busy, and I am so busy. Please be nice to us. We are very busy. David, you want to do a recap while I search up some monsters real quick?
I'm kind of lost on this one, so...
Okay, then David, your synopsis, and I'll be out.
I would like to hear the recap.
You have an idea? Way back in days of old, there was a legend told. So, ahem. So, what we've come up with is a lot of branching timelines, so try to keep up as we go through this extensive recap. Ready? Okay. Artificial... No, sorry. No, I was... Alphabetic aerobics. I'm sorry. Okay. So... I'm losing my mind here. What's that? Pumpkin spice. I'm laughing. I'm gonna get this. Give me a second, guys. So, okay. So, we can't take you out. I was just stunned. All right. Pumpkins. All right. So, we have this situation where... timeline one. We have a situation where... there is a story being told by a beholder that has affected the world to the point where any who step within that realm, this monster world, step into that realm, become humans. The extinct species, thought long forgotten and dead, extinct. So those people then are, those individuals, those monsters who step in, then have the chance to follow the storyline and connect it all out to figure out the process of a pumpkin spice latte, which will end with them realizing that, surprise, surprise, they're made of pumpkins, but not just any pumpkins, pumpkins in a field where a beholder was slaughtered. So they're special pumpkins. One of those special pumpkins grew up to be an actual pumpkin beholder, because that's the last thing that the beholder saw, and with its dying breath before its deep sleep, created a pumpkin beholder. This pumpkin beholder doesn't want to die, or maybe it does. That's up for you, if it wants to have an existential crisis or not. It has to deal with S-Bux, which is a terrible sea hag, who is also maybe a mermaid, your choice, but she's like me, trying to slowly get everyone in the world in on these, which is, by the way, still full of monsters, in on this great, delicious pumpkin drink. That's timeline one. Timeline two is you're playing your D&D game normally. You step into a place where you find a journal telling you of this harrowing journey, which you get to play out. Congratulations. It basically plays out the same way as described in timeline one, except for this time, at the end, you... close out the book and you are still, you know, your adventuring party, and you can choose to kill this pumpkin guy or not, and then also go off and then go deal with S-Bux again, who may or may not be taking over an actual human town, which, we're humans, we fear for that, blah. And so I think those are both of them. I don't think there's a third one. If there is, somebody will correct me. But this is basically, at this point, more confusing than Kingdom Hearts. So good luck to you, David.
Okay. Your party is sitting around the stone table as the wizard opens up the ancient relic book and begins to read. each player finds themselves taking the role of a different human, making their way through a corn maze in this big farm. They come out of it into a patch that is just full of these oddly shaped pumpkins with eyes that are kind of watching in horror as this mermaid stands in front of them, using a big magical looking syringe, just draining all of the orange out of these pumpkins and leaving white husks behind. She turns around to look at your party and mixes up a small drink. Says, "Who wants a latte?" And your barbarian looks down at his sheet. Says, "Ah, I will use my phone to call the police." "Okay, roll. 3, you don't have service." "No!" That's what I got.
That was very good. This is a very meta one, so for those of you who are confused, legitimately, please feel free to listen to the recap as many times as you need, because I got confused sometimes in there, too. It's fine. We'll make it out okay. We'll have a good time.
Yeah, we will. Here's my last input for this one. Thanks for listening to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. Our theme music is Today by Linby off the album Drive. If you like it, you can hear more from them at linby.bandcamp.com or on their actual play podcast, Bombarded, both on, I almost said Instagram. They're probably on Instagram, but I meant to say Spotify, Apple iTunes. Give them 5 stars. They deserve it. And you can follow us here on Spotify or, you know, wherever you're listening to us right now. We would also like a 5-star review on Apple iTunes. But on Twitter, we are Filling in the Gaps, which we abbreviated to FITGDND. That's FITGDND, Filling in the Gaps DND. See how what we did there? FITGDND. Like you're going out to the gym getting fit. Then you look over and you're like, gee, what should I listen to? And then you're like, man, I love DND. So you listen to Fit G D&D. You also can join our Discord server, which is our first link up on Twitter, which if I haven't mentioned is Fit G D&D. And we're always looking for new themes and scenarios, so please tweet at us at hashtag Fit G D&D. That's FITGDND. The show is edited by our lovely audio gremlin, Kat Brown, and you can follow her on Twitter at xnubinator912x. And as always, we are an Obtuse Audio Studios podcast. You can learn more about Obtuse Audio Studios at obtuseaudio.com. Don't forget to give us that 5-star review on Apple iTunes and buy our merch if you feel like being generous. It's not necessary. Wow, I have been your outro, intro person, DM Mambo5 or Sam. Follow me at Twitter at DM Mambo5. Please don't take this away from me. I am getting carried away.
Hi, I'm Malcolm, and thanks for listening to Filling in the Gaps. I would like to let you know that, you know, you're awesome for listening and that you got this far in the episode. Congratulations. I hope you're ready to deal with more of our shenanigans in the future. Pumpkins.
I have been a slightly confused David this episode. if you want to, you can find me on Twitter at Daedra18. Yeah, not spelling it this time. I'm confused.
That's fine. Fit GD&D. Fit GD&D, Obtuse Audio Studios podcast. Goodbye.
What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today.
Obtuse Audio.